Our first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 to 16. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfil the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. And the reading from the New Testament is from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word.
According to Mark, what we just heard was the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. John the Baptist, a messenger, is sent ahead of Jesus, and just like the prophet Isaiah of old, cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. The difference was that in the days of Isaiah, Isaiah's cry was for the people of Israel, who were exiled and separated from their only spiritual and physical home by the Empire of Babylon. Whereas in the people of John's day, John's cry was for those whose spiritual home was occupied by the might of the Roman Empire. John was living on the margins, geographically and religiously. He'd removed himself from the mainstream religious institution. And it's actually documented in historical record that some temple leaders of the time had made the decision to cooperate with the Roman rulers and authorities. But clearly John had decided to go in the opposite direction, literally and metaphorically. There was nothing mainstream or institutional about him. In many ways, John was or is Advent. And even out there in the wilderness, people came from miles around to hear him preach. His whole ministry centered on the coming of God into the world in the person of Jesus. And the message he preached to people was that God had every intention of coming to end their suffering. And not only that, they were required to prepare the way for the Christ who was to come. But prepare how? You could easily imagine that John would have sent people away with some sound advice or with the instruction to challenge systems and infrastructures and practices. You could imagine him sending people back where they'd come from to address the things in their communities that needed to be changed. Things that needed to be different for the coming of the Messiah. Things that needed to be sorted or completed. But actually, no, categorically, that's not how John tells the people to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Instead of getting buildings and systems into shape, John invites people to come and confess their sins. Or to put it another way, they're to get themselves into shape. They are to promise to turn their lives around and to receive forgiveness. And then they're to be baptized, adults and children, Gentiles and Jews, all together in the waters of the River Jordan. For John, preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah was not about external factors. It was about the internal change required in people, people who were just like you and me. It was the shift in the focus, the change in perspective. That was what was of importance. For our 21st century ears, if not outright uncomfortable, then John's message is at least a bit unpalatable and off-putting. A call to repentance, the coming of the Lord, it does jar somewhat with our pre-Christmas culture. And it jars because instead of simply celebrating tradition and sameness and comfortable, highly enjoyable, it has to be said, familiarity, it also calls for soul-searching and deep change and transformation in hearts and in culture and in practice. John the Baptist had no choir, no PowerPoint, no attractive building. He didn't even have an inspirational sermon. He simply called people to repent, or in other words, to turn back towards God. And that was all. That was it. Because that was all that was needed. But repentance does mean a genuine change, a heart-level change. It means turning away from the things that keep us from relationship with God and with one another, and consciously reorientating our lives and our hearts. That was the kind of preparation that John the Baptist was calling for amongst the people of his time and context. I believe it's the same kind of preparation for the coming of Christ that we're called to do today. We are called to face the harder stuff during Advent. It's probably not for the faint-hearted, but it is our best hope for reconciliation and healing in our own lives, in our church communities, and in the wider world. And it's our best hope if we want to create the space so desperately needed for Christ to come into our world today. The change that the world needs begins not out there somewhere else, but in each and every one of us here. Every year in Advent, we're called to prepare and to make straight the way for the coming of Christ. The work of preparation is the work of confession and repentance. And repentance isn't a one-off. Repentance involves turning once and turning again and turning yet again towards God. Which is why John the Baptist's message is as relevant for us now as it was for the people all those centuries ago who heard him preach. What we're called to do now is no different from what John's hearers were being called to do. Yes, there will be ample room in the next few weeks for festivities and nativity, for angels and carols and messages of peace and goodwill, and rightly so, but mixed in there in the Gospels, let's not overlook that timeless message from John the Baptist, who was already looking forward to the final coming of Christ, because John's advent was an advent of radical transformation. And goodness knows the world needs radical transformation. Everything about the coming of Christ was and is radical. Everything about a God choosing to reach into time and space in the form of a human being is radical. How radical dare we be in our thinking and in our preparations this Advent? Because like John the Baptist, the Advent we're preparing for is altogether more wonderful, and if we can allow it, more transformative than many of us might possibly imagine. Amen.